Leaning Toward Wisdom, episode 4130.
Follow your heart and see where it might take you. Don't let the world outside there break you. They know not who you are inside. They've never felt your head. Don't ever let them cry.
Brandi Carlile, her debut CD, released in 2005, simply entitled Brandi Carlile. It's track number one, entitled Follow. And it is the title for today's episode of Leaning Toward Wisdom 4130. Follow your heart. See where it might take you. Don't let the world outside there break you. Brandi Carlile, 2005. I like her. I like her a lot. She's got a new record out or coming out. It's not the result, it's the journey. It's the process. Hey, welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at Leaning Toward Wisdom, Modern Tales of an Ancient Pursuit. Go to the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. I don't just snoop around. Do whatever you want. We often hear that it's not the result, it's the journey, it's the process. But those of us struggling to achieve something, people that are fighting, battling to find success. Often feel like those are, well, they're just really easy words to utter. And guess who utters them mostly? Yeah, the people who've already achieved something, people who've already reached some level of success. I've heard a lot of musicians in recent weeks as I watch interviews with musical artists make a claim that their pursuit of playing music was never focused on stardom. Now, let me qualify this. The people that I'm attracted to musically, mostly, not entirely, but I think mostly are probably people that aren't just clamoring to be at the top of a pop chart, to be on some TV show. I mean, they're people that are really musical and really musically talented and great musicians. And so I don't know that the sample is completely scientific, you know? I mean, when I'm just paying attention to the people that I like and that I'm paying attention to, and these people whose success can range from crazy, insanely big to much more moderate, but still successful, make a claim that stardom was never, it just wasn't something that they had their sights set on. They simply had a desire to be able to make a living playing music. They just wanted to be able to play songs and not have to have a day job. Our cynicism, I think, forces us to wonder how true it is, though, because by the time we hear other people talk about the process or talk about how it's not the destination, but it's the journey, when we realize that they're saying it, when we listen to them and we hear them say it, well, they're already stars at some altitude. I'm going to encourage us today in this episode to battle through that cynicism, because there's likely a deeper truth. And I think it's a deeper truth that often can evade our awareness. And it's a truth that I often have to remind myself, and that is, if you enjoy it, or if it is something you really want to do, then you will endure what you must. And if you won't endure what you must, you'll endure more. You will certainly endure more grief. You'll fight harder to overcome adversity to do something that you really want to do, as opposed to whatever battle you would put up, whatever fight you would put up to fight through adversity to do something you really don't care about doing. I mean, any adversity will knock us off the path of pursuing something we really don't care about pursuing. You just won't be driven so much by what the activity will get you, but just simply your love for being able to do this thing, whatever it may be.
Look to the clock on the wall, hands hardly moving at all. I can't stand the state that I'm in.
Track number two from the same record, Brandi Carlile, 2005. Name of the song is What Can I Say? What can I say? Well, I can tell you this. We can use this podcast as an illustration of my point that we will more likely endure whatever must be endured and overcome whatever we can if we're pursuing something that we really enjoy. The activity, the thing, not the pursuit of the end result. And I can use this podcast as an illustration. And that's easy, since I can safely say that I'm not terribly accomplished. So it's not like you're listening to someone who has achieved stardom. I haven't. So this isn't somebody who's at the mountaintop looking down going, hey, look at what I did. And oh, yes, it was never about getting here. It was always just about the climb, because it could be argued I'm still at base camp. And I can more easily say that I can say it because, well, there's been no financial success. Now, admittedly, I never did set out to chase or pursue financial success. I never did set out like a musician who wants to pursue playing music, and they just hope to be paid so that they can do it. I enjoy podcasting. And I know in the podcasting space, there's just a ton of conversation about being paid and monetizing your podcast. But I also know that the vast majority of people that I hear say that, they're less interested in the craft of podcasting, and they're much more interested in making money. And I think for too many people, they're just deluded, and they think it might be an easy thing to do. Right? I mean, I can fire up a microphone, I can say a few things and maybe get some sponsors and maybe do this and do that. Me, on the other hand, I just like podcasting. And it's less about podcasting. For me, it really is more communication. It really is more sharing ideas, sharing thoughts. That's what Leaning Toward Wisdom is really all about. I never did set out to chase financial success. I never did set out to chase being able to be financially independent so that I could be paid to do this simply because this is what I love. That makes sense to me. I'm not arguing against it. And I know that it's anathema to many podcasters who are clamoring to find ways to monetize their podcast. I just think that largely, this is the cynic in me, I think that's largely driven by people who are just chasing get rich quick. And who doesn't want to get rich quick as opposed to getting rich slow or as opposed to not getting rich at all? Well, give me those three choices, I'm going to take quick every time. Yeah, give me quick. I do this because I want to do this. And I do it the way I do it because it's how I want to do it. I don't pay much attention to what experts say. In fact, I'll go you better. I don't pay attention to what any experts say. Some of the experts are my friends, and I like these guys and gals. I don't particularly care. I realize that there are people that may declare best practices about this or that, or SEO, or things to build an audience, or things for financial gain. I just don't go that way, and it's partly because I'm just hard-headed and stubborn, but mostly it's because my objectives, they're just not congruent with that advice. I am intentionally working to keep this little podcast intimate and relatively unknown. Now, you're listening. I don't want any trouble. I break a ton of rules, right? And so I guess the outlaw in me doesn't want any trouble. A few weeks ago, there was a conversation that ensued about my birthplace, namely the state of Oklahoma. And we got to thinking about the people, famous people, people that names you would know, people who were born there. And the main point of the conversation were the musicians. And of course, as you would imagine, being Oklahoma, a big number of them from the country genre. And that conversation sparked me hopping down the bunny trail of a particular Okie who still resides in Oklahoma, named Toby Keith. And because I made what I thought was an accurate declaration, and it turns out I was right. I had made the declaration, and I was somewhat challenged on it, that I believed that Toby Keith was among the top earning artists, musical artists, in any genre. And yet, I didn't own any of his music. I've listened to some of it. And the person challenged me on it. And I said, I'm pretty sure I'm right about this. I mean, I'm pretty sure that this guy is printing money, doing really well. And I didn't mean merely in just record sales, but as a business, as an empire, as a live performer, and whatever the auxiliary stuff that the guy's into. Toby Keith is certainly at or near the top of the mountain of musical acts who have figured out leveraging their musical talent in even non-musical ways, but ways that are congruent with their music. I mean, he has figured out this entrepreneurship thing pretty stinking well. According to Forbes, I'll put a link in the show notes, and you can find those, by the way, going to leaningtowardwisdom.com. It's the reason for the episode numbers. Just plug in the number 4130, 4130, and it'll take you there. I'm going to put a link to this Forbes article, and this was published on July the 15th, 2013. Here's what it said. Over the past 5 years, so this was in 2013, so this is, you know, 4 years ago plus. Over the past 5 years, Forbes estimates Keith has never earned less than $48 million in a year. His cumulative takeover that period, $270 million. Over his entire career, Keith has written a number one country hit every year for the past two decades. His total earnings surpassed $500 million. Now, I can tell you that there are more than a few business pundits out there who have declared that by the end of this decade, the decade that we are in, it's 2018. We've only got two or three more years here. But by the end of the decade, he's on pace to be a billionaire. I mean, that's how much momentum Toby Keith has. That's how much traction this guy's got. That's a lot of traction, kids. Now, it's very easy to speculate that will happen, because when you start really looking at the guy's business acumen, it's clearly leveraged off of the platform of his ability to play country music. It's pretty easy to see how this could happen. That is, that by the end of the decade, he could become a billionaire. He is earning $12 million a year just in franchise fees from his restaurants. I think he's got a couple of dozen of, what's the name of these restaurants? Did I write it down? Let's see. I don't remember. They're Toby Keith. I love this bar and grill. Yeah, I love this bar and grill. Toby Keith, I love this bar and grill. $12 million a year in franchise fees from a couple of dozen restaurants. These are among the top 50 grossing restaurants in the country. And as he has said in interviews, they fill a void. You know, they fill a void in Cleveland or wherever, Las Vegas. Las Vegas was the first one. There's one here in Dallas, I think. Got things like fried ribs, which most people have never heard of. You know, battered and fried like chicken. Fried bologna sandwiches. It's another famous one that he will always mention. Fried bologna sandwiches. Yeah, I know what a fried bologna sandwich is. I'm a kid from Oklahoma. I get it. He earns an estimated $80 million Some have speculated maybe as much as $100 million or more each year from his liquor business. He does some kind of a hard liquor thing. Shocking, I know, for a country music artist to have some affiliation with alcohol. A lot of drinking songs, right, stuff, which is probably why I don't listen much. I tip my hat. The guy's got skills. I don't take anything away from him. He owns 10% for about $400,000 back when he bought a 10% stake in a label, if you please, a publishing recording business called Big Machine. Well, guess who's on that label now? Oh, just really minuscule acts, tiny, no account folks like Tim McGraw, Rascal Flatts, Taylor Swift. You may have heard of her. He's got a 10% stake in all that. That ain't a bad investment. He did well. By all accounts, his Ford sponsorship, Ford has sponsored him for a number of years. They've sponsored his live tours and whatnot, and he tours every year. And he tours every year from summer to Halloween. And then he's done. And he does it every year. And then every other year, he goes to Europe. And all along the way, he does a ton of USO shows for the troops. He's got a lucrative deal with Ford. I don't know what it is. I couldn't find it. I don't know that it's been disclosed. I'm sure you can find it because Ford is a publicly held company. I just didn't want to dig deep enough. He reportedly grosses over $1 million per concert. And no, that doesn't include the hundreds of shows that he has done over the past decade plus for the troops. Well, that ain't bad. That ain't bad for a kid from Moore, Oklahoma. Moore is a south suburb of Oklahoma City. Moore is between Oklahoma City and Norman, just so that you know. Today, he's a Norman, Oklahoma boy. Got a farm there. Got a golf course. Got a private country club golf course that he bought. It started going downhill, and they made a run at him. Why don't you get some buddies and buy this thing? And never did work out. He bought it. Does real well. But it all makes sense, and when you listen to him talk, you can understand the strategy behind it, but you get the feeling that this is a guy who's very driven. There's little question. I mean, come on. You don't achieve the kind of, well, you don't reach the level of business acumen that this guy has reached by not caring and by not figuring it out. Does he love that stuff as much as the music stuff? You know, I watch him and I'm not real sure. Chris Stapleton, on the other hand, you can take a guy like Chris Stapleton. Chris Stapleton will be one of the first cats that you'll hear of a level who will say, you know, he really enjoys a record label. He really needs a team. And you get this sense that Chris Stapleton, the business side of it, could care less. Now, I could be wrong. My sense of Chris Stapleton is, he just so cares about writing the songs and playing the songs and telling the stories, that other stuff. He'd much rather let somebody else fret and worry about that stuff. My sense of Toby Keith is he's as into that stuff. He's as into that side of it as he is the music stuff. Now, he's smart enough to figure out that the music is the platform. But here is a guy who's very driven. And apparently always has been.
It's hard to let the miles pass me by. Yellow lines are blend together in my eyes. Ever when the seasons change again, I will too. But I just want.
Track number 3, Brandi Carlile, Closer to You. Man, I'm trying to get closer to you. Sure, I am. I hear from some of you occasionally. Sometimes some of you chime in over at the Facebook group. So there's that. I am trying to get closer to you. It's kind of part of the objective around here. And I think all of these musical artists, they're trying to get closer to their audience too. Toby Keith is a driven guy. By all accounts, he always has been. I mean, here's a guy who was working in the oil field during the day. He was playing music at night. Decided going to college wasn't going to be the thing for him. Work ethic. Any time that you see or read an interview, you will see that work ethic is a real point of pride for this guy. This guy began to gain some traction, and he leaned into it. I mean, boy, did he lean into it. And I think there's a lesson there for us. Now, let's not overlook his talent. And let's not overlook his, that includes his songwriting skills. But Nashville, Tennessee did not embrace Toby Keith. He decided in his 20s that he was going to give it his all during his 20s. And that if by the time he was 30, he had not been able to break through. And we'll define breaking through as being able to play music full time for a living. Then he'd come back to Oklahoma and get a job, call it a day. So he was committed, but he was also very, very practical. But boy, he did not care enough to compromise. I mean, not at all. In fact, he still doesn't. Now, I'm not into the whole drinking theme of country music. But again, I've got to tip my hat. Well, I have on a beanie today because it's 20 degrees outside. Here inside the Yellow Studio, it's a toasty 74. But right now, here in Texas, it is 20 degrees. That's cold for us now, kids. I know you northern folks think, man, bunch of wusses. I'd die. I would absolutely die if I lived in a cold weather climate. It would kill me. This weather's about to kill me already. I'm not into this whole drinking theme. I know that a ton of country music has it, and I like some of those songs. But you're listening to a teetotaler. I've never had a drink of alcohol. Well, unless you count NyQuil, and we don't. But I will admire Toby Keith's commitment. I will admire his work ethic. I will admire his talent. I will salute his determination to not care what other people think. I mean, the guy, he was committed, man, from day one. But he was also practical. He got kicked. He got rejected by country music. But like I said, he was determined to give it his all until he hit 30, and he got a break. And he got a break when he was 29. I mean, you talk about a guy who's running, getting close to the finish line, you know, the finish line that he established. I mean, we'll never know, really, if he would have stuck to that 30-year-old deadline, because he made it before he hit 30. I've often wondered, well, what would have happened if his 30th birthday would have come? Would he, okay, that's it, I'm done. Something tells me he wouldn't have. Something tells me he would have negotiated that with himself. Not with the universe or the world, but that he would have said, nah, I'm going to give it another year. Because you know there are people out there that are doing that. You know there are people that have said, if I don't do it by this time, and then they just can't let go because they love it so much and they keep on. And we don't hear these stories. And then you turn around and you realize 30 years have gone by and you've held on to this dream. It's kind of sad. Sad on one hand and not so sad on another. But 30 years chasing something that you really love. it's not practical. Yeah, I'm like Toby. I'm practical. Yeah, but we're Okies. It's what we do. I think he had, I could be wrong about this, he had a 6-song demo. And he'd given this tape to everybody. And the story goes, according to him, that he had given the tape to a friend who was dating a friend. And she got it to the hands of a record executive. And the record executive calls him up and wants to know, where are you playing? He tells the guy, you know, there's some bar that he's playing at. Guy flies into town. Guy flies into Oklahoma. And Toby tells the bar owner, and they were doing covers and stuff. He said, I got a record guy here. I'm going to do 45 minutes of my stuff, and then I'm going to do a second set of 45 minutes of my stuff. And he did. The guy signed him on the spot. That record came out, and if I've got my facts correct, of those 6 songs that were on that demo, and I don't know what his first record, how many songs it had, but of those 6, 4 number ones. I mean, come on. You can't argue with that talent. You just can't argue with that talent. But keep in mind, that was a demo cassette that many other record executives, he says, they would just hit fast forward. And then they would hit, and then they would hand him the tape back. And he would go, well, you can keep that. And the record executive would say, no, I don't want it. And you're thinking, well, how smart is that guy? But these are the people that sometimes we listen to. And that's kind of the point. Toby Keith didn't listen. Okay, you don't want my tape? Great, I'll take my tape and leave, which is what he did. He followed his heart. And he was open to go wherever his heart took him because, well, he was just stinking committed. I love his story. I love his story, and I've known his story for a while. And yet, as a fan of music and as a guy who, talking about me, as a guy who can be really envious of musicianship, and I absolutely am, and even though I'm not a big Toby Keith fan in that, the whole party, the whole solo cup, the whole drinking thing, it just doesn't resonate with me. That's just not a life that I live. It's not a life that I want to live. It's not a life that I can relate to, nor do I want to relate to it. I was a very early Jimmy Buffett fan. But Jimmy figured out a way to monetize, and boy, you talk about cashing in. I can't relate, though. By the time we get to the Jimmy Buffett of Margaritaville, I'm pretty much done. I'm pretty much out. The early, early, early stuff in his busking days and in his trolling around the Gulf Coast and the storytelling stuff. But I'm still in on that. I'm still all in on that. And I'm still all in on the Toby Keith story stuff. I'll absolutely listen, you know, all day long. So, but I am a business guy. I am a business guy, and I'm not stupid. And I know that there is some correlation between talent and success. There just is. There is also correlation between talent, success, well, let's call it financial success, because that really is what we mean. But I also know that the universe will not always reward talent. And when it does reward talent, it will not always be in direct correlation to the level or the degree of talent. There are a ton of undiscovered, really talented musicians who are going to struggle. And struggle and struggle. And many of them are going to quit because they're just going to have to. Or they're going to do what I mentioned. They're going to grow old. And they're going to just embrace that struggle all the while hanging on to the dream, hanging on to the determination. I mean, the stories that we hear they determine our outlook. They just do. You know they do. And we love these stories of tremendous success. We love these stories of overcoming. We love these stories of the artist, you know, I mean, the Billy Ray Cyrus who, you know, lived in his Chevy car for however long. These are great stories. We want the phoenix to rise out of the ashes, and we like hearing those kinds of stories. We like hearing success stories. But following your heart, there is something to the fact that following your heart has got to be, in some ways, its own kind of success. Fourth track, Brandi Carlile, 2005. Name of the song is Throw It Away. It's a good record. It was a really great debut record, as so many are. Of course, you realize, largely, these young people in their maiden voyage, right, their rookie release, they spent their whole life either writing these songs, pursuing this craft. I mean, you talk about people that are leaning in. Find the first record, and you'll see how hard they're leaning in, and you'll likely see their level of talent. Well, Toby Keith, he had oodles of it all. Still does. And there's no way that Toby Keith knew the outcome. But there's another Okie named Vince Gill. And Vince Gill has long talked about how he never had a goal other than to be a better musician. He started out, Dad showed him some banjo licks and some guitar licks, and that's just what he's chased. That's what he has pursued his entire life, is just to be a better musician. He's still chasing that. And it's interesting that he's gone on record for many, many years that his parents never nudged him away from his heart. He has said many times that both of his parents, and his dad was a lawyer and a judge, so it wasn't like higher education wasn't beyond him, but neither one of his parents pressured him to go to college. They saw that he was into music, and his dad particularly noticed that he was getting better. And so they did nothing but encourage him. In fact, Vince says that his mom would tell him, you know, I wanted to, he asked his mom, he said one time, you know, why was it that you were able to be so supportive of what I was really wanting to do and play music? And she said, because I wanted a happy kid. I never wanted a rich kid. Yeah, well, she got both. Vince Gill became rich and happy. Nothing wrong with that. Following our heart does not mean chasing selfish pursuits, though. So I do need to make that kind of a disclaimer or clarification. I encounter far too many people enter my life who are chasing things that are costly to themselves and to others, namely the people around them, people that they love, supposedly, people who flat out love them, because people are selfish. So I don't mean it that way. But there are plenty of financial success stories of people who abandoned people who have made foolish choices based entirely on what they want, never did care about anybody that they hurt, never did care about relationships that maybe they destroyed. But is that necessary? No, absolutely not. We can follow our heart in multiple areas of our life. In fact, I think the truth is it's highly probable that the first place our heart takes us is to love somebody else. I mean, whether it was you as a kid and puppy love, or whether it was you as a teenager like me and Rhonda, who now 40 years later, we've been husband and wife for that long. Unlikely doesn't have anything to do with achievement, at least not until later. That is the pursuits of our heart. That was true for me. You know, I was chasing love. I was chasing love. And maybe there's a truth in all that, that the first thing our hearts tend to follow is love for another person. Sure, I know. There are exceptions, of course. But those who are driven to be rich, they can find success. They can become a star. They can become something else. But I suspect most of us first pursue a human connection through love. And to me, personally, few things seem sadder than a person who has achieved great success, but they don't have a love connection. That special somebody with whom to share that success, or that special someone with whom to share their struggles. But the second line of the lyric that I'm using for today's show is, don't let the world outside there break you. Well, now we're getting somewhere, kids, because our heart is synonymous with our mind. It's us. It's inside of us. The world, well, the world is outside of us. It's the proverbial enemy of the heart. And it was the world, through the record executive, who tells Toby Keith, here, you can have this tape back. I don't want it. I don't much care for this. Many years later, maybe not that many years later, but a few years later and a few records later, it was also a record executive who told Toby Keith, as he had brought songs to release another record, he still owed two albums to this label, and they didn't like it. They didn't like these songs. These songs aren't any good. Record, we're not going to make this. We're not going to do this. We're not going to put this out. Well, the guy evidently so hated his music. And Toby says, since you hate it so much, you hate it, right? And the guy's like, yeah, I hate it. And you're not going to put it out. No, I'm not going to put it out. Then why don't you just let me go? Just let me go. And the guy says, okay, I'll let you go. And he said, well, I want to take my music with, and he, well, I'll sell it to you. Toby Keith says that he spent some six figures to buy his music back. And that was in a day and age where he says he didn't have a lot of six figures floating around, but he did it. And he walked across the street and he sold his music to DreamWorks for more than he paid for it. And he put out that record. And he recorded the songs that this prior executive hated. And the result of that was a 1999 record entitled How Do You Like Me Now? That title track won the number one spot on Billboard in 2000. In 2001, propelled by the success of that record, How Do You Like Me Now?, he won the Country Music Association, the CMA Award, for Album of the Year and Top Male Vocalist. And you can watch, you can go on YouTube and you can see him take the award. And of course, the first thing he says is, How do you like me now? And in typical low-key fashion, he says, yeah, I got some things I'm going to say now. I got some things I want to say now. Naysayers drove him. They still evidently do drive him. He's just that kind of a personality. And I don't know if it's an Oki thing, but boy, do I so get it. Man, do I so get it. That's the outside world. That's the outside world talking. We can listen to our heart or we can listen to the outside world. Now, it's not that simple. It's nowhere near that simple. It's nowhere near that straightforward. Number five, Happy, Brandi Carlile, 2005, her maiden voyage. Toby Keith listened to his heart, and he did listen to the outside world. He was just very picky about it. The guy had selective hearing. This is what is so difficult for many of us. I freely admit, difficult for me. He did not listen to his old label. Instead, he jumped to a new one. But when the album How Do You Like Me Now first came out, the single on the record was not that title track. The single was another track entitled When Love Fades. Well, When Love Fades was released, it never did hit the top 40. And so Toby did listen to the world outside that was his market. He listened to his audience. And so he asked this new label, pull that. And in its place, let's use the title track to the record, How Do You Like Me Now? And they did. And that song, How Do You Like Me Now, spent 5 weeks as the number one record on the country charts. It even cracked the top 40 pop chart, reaching to number 31. First time ever that a Toby Keith song had ever crossed over into a pop chart. All on a song that his old label hated and said, we're not going to publish this. But it was a song he believed in. How do you like me now? Prophetic? I don't know. It was a song that helped him achieve some success because of his heart and his ability to listen to the right part of the outside world, namely the audience, people who were supporting him. These aren't terribly unique stories, by the way, kids. It's a person with such strong determination, such strong belief in the pursuit of what they want, and as they're pursuing making themselves happy. Yes, got to have some natural ability. It doesn't mean that I've got to recognize their ability. It doesn't mean that I have to appreciate their, that the outside world has to. Some segment of the outside world has to appreciate and has to approve of and has to support Toby Keith and what he's doing. Else he couldn't be doing what he's doing. He certainly couldn't be on the path to being a billionaire by the end of the decade, if that happens. Without the outside world, no success. Sorry, it's just how it rolls. It is this push-pull of our heart and the outside world. Years ago, Seth Godin is a famed marketing guru, and he was among the first to point out that with the internet age, we are no longer living in a permission-based society. You don't need permission anymore. He pointed out that you can chase what you want, you can pursue what you want, and you don't need somebody else to say yes to you. At one level, he's right. That certainly is true enough, but we have to keep the context. Take me, for instance. I do not need a radio station. I do not need a newspaper. I do not need any kind of other media company to tell me, yes, Randy, you can podcast. Yes, you can blog. Yes, you can communicate with the world at large. I don't need that, thanks to the internet. I can do it all on my own without any permission from media companies. But just because I can do it does not mean that I can provide any value that the world, the outside world, will recognize or appreciate. There are a ton of podcasters, including this one, who haven't really achieved anything. Not in the grand scope of things, not in the sense of achieving financial success. So just because I can do it does not mean that it will provide value. And just because I can do it and because I don't need anybody's permission to do it or to try does not mean that anybody will just pay attention to it. Without approval, without permission from the market, you're not going to achieve success. Every achievement or accomplishment needs an audience, people willing to pay attention to it. Without that, there is no success. The success here at Leaning Toward Wisdom is you. Okay, there's a few of you. Any given day, there's a few hundred of you. That's not a chump thing for me. That's a big deal for me. You realize how hard it would be to get 500 or so people into a room willing to listen to you? I couldn't do it. No way. I couldn't do it. I can tell you right now. I could not go rent some room somewhere in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, and invite thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And for me to get 500 people to show up and listen to me, it ain't going to happen, kids. But I can do that here. So that's a big deal. So I only say that because I don't want you thinking that I'm minimizing this and that I'm minimizing you. I'm simply making the point that you've got to follow your heart. You've got to pursue what you need to pursue, what you want to pursue. But let's not lose sight of the outside world in the shuffle and think, well, just, you know, forget them. It's a tighter rope than that to walk. Now, call it validation, call it anything else you want. We are all depending on the outside world to show appreciation. Otherwise, our achievements are a little bit like going to the trophy store and buying ourselves a trophy, right? I mean, you could do that. You want to do that? And you can even get that trophy and you can put anything on it you want. You can set it on your mantle. You can show it off. You can brag about it. Problem is, it doesn't mean anything because the outside world didn't recognize your achievement. The outside world didn't recognize your accomplishment. Just because you recognized it doesn't mean that it's real. That's the pursuit. That is the fuel of a heart pursuit. Recognition. That's the key. Recognition from other people.
Dear love, I miss you much. I miss your smile and I miss your touch. But I found a place where I can erase my past. Maybe someday when you're old and gray and your hair falls out and your tattoos fade, your mind see me standing hat in hand. I have to go away. I've got no reason to stay here. You said someday you'll change, but even a fool would tell you someday it never comes. You built your rooms, you built your walls, you kept me outside of it all. I got tired of you. What's a girl to do? Maybe someday if we stay in a different place, you remember when you're gonna thank me.
Track number 6, Someday Never Comes, Brandi Carlile. This all begins inside you. It begins inside of us. First, we must believe in it. We must believe in ourselves. Without that, no go. Nobody will believe in you more than you believe in yourself. And even if they did, what difference would it make, right? Toby Keith's original label, they lost faith in him. They hated his songs. They refused to publish them. Didn't matter. Didn't matter to him because he still believed in the songs. He still believed in the music. He had 6 songs on his demo tape he believed in. Even though record executives handing the tape back said, I don't like these. 4 hits out of 6. On his demo. The world doesn't always get it right. Part of the world. He believed in himself. Stubborn. Ornery. You could say, okay. Typical Oki. Determined. And so he forged his exodus and he proved himself right. He knew he was right. He knew he was right when he did it. When he made the move, he knew he was right. But the proof came. The proof came when the outside world agreed. And until that happened, there was no validation of how he felt, of how he believed. I mean, otherwise, we've just got the story of another stubborn, self-willed, wild-eyed dreamer who believed in himself, but nobody else did. Now, there's a big phrase that we have yet to talk about, really. And that is that phrase in the lyric that Brandy sings, follow your heart and see where it might take you. See where it might take you. And that's the rub. Because it's that unknown destination of where our heart may lead us. Whether Toby, whether Vince, or whether any other accomplished musician had a specific target in mind when they set out, I don't know. Does it really matter? No. What did matter is that they wanted to pursue making music. I'm sure that everybody who pursues it hopes that it will lead to a lucrative career as a star. But the fact is, when Vince left home at 17, when he left Oklahoma City at 17, and when Toby was thinking that he's going to celebrate his 30th birthday, having never achieved much more than playing at clubs and bars, neither young man knew what the future would be. They didn't know. Now, we know now, because like Paul Harvey says, we know the rest of the story now. But they didn't know it then any more than you know it, any more than I know it. It is January 2018. I do not know the specifics of what might happen this year. Yeah, I've got expectations. Don't you? Sure, you've got expectations for this year. But I know that as I increasingly work to follow my heart, and at my age, to pursue what and who I really am, it can be really intriguing to see where it might take me. Fact is, I don't know. And what the outside world cannot be allowed to do is to make us somebody or something that we are not, or something that we don't want to become. You do realize Vince Gill once turned down Mark Knopfler's invitation to join the rock band Dire Straits, and it was when Dire Straits was on a roll. Well, in his heart, he just felt like it was time to see if he could make it on his own as a solo act in Nashville. He wasn't going to give that up, not even for a gig with Dire Straits. And with bluegrass and with country background, he made a heart decision. You could say, well, that wasn't a head decision. That was not a business decision. Maybe not. But boy, it was a heart decision. He did not allow outside influences to spur him to do something that he didn't fully believe in at the time. Something that he knew at heart level just wasn't congruent with what he most wanted at the time. And it worked out. It worked out. He had plenty of talent. He had plenty of work ethic. And sure, he'll be the first to tell you he had plenty of luck. It could have worked out differently, though. He could have wound up back in Oklahoma City finding a job. But instead, he followed his heart. And look where it took him.
A day, take it away, hold it up and you don't let it fall. 'Cause devil's play was yesterday, and I told you.
number 7, Fall Apart Again, Brandi Carlile. Buy this record. I've got the CD. You don't have to do that. I didn't look up how much it is, but I suspect it's one of those really inexpensive ones. Brandi Carlile, simply entitled Brandi Carlile, 2005. Vince Gill, more than perhaps any other musician that I know of, has lived his entire life saying yes. Just yes. Okay, he said no to Dire Straits. But he admits that being a session guitarist and being a vocalist on other people's records was really all that he ever wanted to do. And he said, in spite of the fact that he so wanted to be a really good guitarist and a good musician, and he worked hard at it, and he tried to surround himself by people who could play better and challenging, he instinctively knew, because his ears, he says, have never betrayed him. He knew that the voice was going to be the thing. He knew that this crazy clear tenor voice that he had was really going to be the differentiator. He knew that that was going to be the wave he would be able to surf. And just to be able to play with other people and to sing with other people, it's all the guy ever wanted to do. He estimates that he has played on 1,000 or more records of other people, because people invite him all the time to sing background, to play on a record. And he says yes. And watch him. Watch him in interviews. Go to YouTube and spend some time watching interviews with Vince Gill. It is obvious that he is incredibly proud of that. It's proof that the man has followed his heart. Most recently, he said yes to Don Henley to join the Eagles for some tour dates. He's a kid from Norman, Oklahoma. He never figured on that. You kidding? He never figured on being at the Grand Ole Opry. He never did figure on being country music in country music's Hall of Fame, but he is. I'm sure there are hundreds, maybe thousands of other forms of appreciation that he has received through the years that he never did figure. He didn't have that in mind when he was 17 and he went out, I think, to the state of Kentucky to pursue some bluegrass picking. He followed his heart, and that's where it took him. Toby Keith is going to earn in 1 year. Now, I want you to get this. Toby Keith is going to earn more in 1 year than Vince Gill has accumulated during his entire career. Try that on. In fact, I'm going to tell you, the truth is that Amy Grant, Vince's wife, she's a Christian music artist. Amy Grant has way out-earned Vince Gill. Now, I don't know about you, but there's something in my musical fandom head. It just doesn't seem right to me. Okay, but that's where the outside world matters. This is really where the outside world matters, because the outside world can make or break us. And while Brandi can sing Don't Let the World Outside Break You, it can. It can, because it can reject us, because it's that world that determines who has or is offering the most value. Toby Keith is leaning into the business side of things, while it has been clear that Vince is much more concerned with his own musicianship. Chris Stapleton is much more interested in just the music stuff. Toby Keith, he's interested in the music stuff. He's not stupid. He gets it. Without the music stuff, he ain't got anything else. But for Toby Keith, it's a platform. It's a platform from which he can build an empire. And boy, is he building. He's built an empire. He's got the empire, kids. The boy's printing money. And he's not mercenary. His audience is clamoring for this. I'm not judging. It's just how it goes, because each one of these people is still following his heart. And the outside world is rewarding all of them accordingly. Vince Gill is just steeped in music. period. Does he have other business interests? Well, I'm sure he does, but not like Toby Keith. I'm sure Chris Stapleton, now that he's broken through and he's got, you know, three big records. But the guy was with the Steel Drivers before, playing some pretty rock solid stuff. I mean, the guy's not brand new to Nashville. The guy's been writing songs for a long, long time and writing songs for a lot of people and made a buck or two along the way. Big, big, big money. Toby Keith money. Not even close. And you know what? As talented as he is and as much as I love his stuff, he ain't ever going to be Toby Keith. Because he doesn't care as much. He's not following his heart on the business side of stuff because that ain't where his heart's at. Toby's heart, music, kind of like this business stuff too. Kind of like this money stuff. Kind of like what he can do. And to be fair, the guy is reportedly big time philanthropic. And it's not lost on me that when tornadoes blew through Moore, Oklahoma many years ago, Toby was the first guy to say, you know, he had his kids out and their buddies, you know, y'all are going to take some of my equipment. Y'all are going to go help these people. You know, he's pretty determined that he's not going to raise a bunch of entitled kids, which is going to be an enormous challenge for anybody that makes that kind of money. But I admire it. I mean, how can you not? The outside world rewards us. Okay, well, what's the morale of all this? First, your heart is your mind. And when you think about following your heart, well, you're thinking. And what you think matters. And how strongly you believe in yourself is huge. It's paramount. Nothing matters until you get that right. If you don't get that right, you can ditch any other strategy or tactic. It doesn't matter what you want to do. I don't care if you want to paint. I don't care if you want to lay bricks. I don't care if you want to build houses. I don't care if you want to run marathons. I don't care if you want to play music. I don't care if you want to run a business. You've got to be willing to invest in your own deep belief in yourself. John Mayer is a brilliant musician, and he said the other day, I saw in an Instagram video that he did, that with the internet, the learning curve is much flatter, and he was talking about picking a guitar. And as you well know, I'm a frustrated wannabe. I'm a wannabe guitar player. I don't play, and the reason I don't play, my heart hasn't driven me to play. If my heart had driven me to play, I would have played. My heart has driven me to be interested in it. My heart has driven me to listen to it. My heart has even driven me to buy them and to own them and to keep them. Got one sitting right over there. But my heart has not compelled me to endure the grief and the heartache and the pain and the time that would be required to learn. And so John Mayer says, appropriately so, that with the internet, he makes an argument that even within a matter of about 3 months, somebody can go from start to passable. Passable was the word that he used, which I thought was interesting, and immediately it connected with me. Passable. And he said, you know, with the internet, you can probably, in a matter of months, you can probably become passable at just most anything. But passable isn't good enough. Passable isn't good enough for high achievement. Whatever you're pursuing, you're going to have to reach some degree of mastery. And mastery ain't passable. Mastery is way beyond passable. Vince Gill was born the same year that I was born, about a month earlier. He was born, I think, April the 11th, 1957. He's 60 now. Me too. And he feels about himself the same way I feel about myself. He has declared repeatedly, and I get it. Boy, do I get it. 60-year-old guy to 60-year-old guy, okie to okie, and he doesn't have a clue who I am. He's better than he's ever been. Vince Gill argues he's better than he's ever been. He has spent his lifetime getting to this point. He makes that argument, and boy, do I resonate with that. His voice, his guitar playing, he will tell you, have never been better. And so what's he doing? He says he's pushing hard. He's got a recording studio in his home that he says is one of the biggest blessings that he ever had because he's got people in music surrounding him all the time. And he credits his wife, Amy, with having saluted and giving him a green light to do it because she likes having people in the house too. And it's that pursuit of musicianship, and it's that camaraderie, and it's that connection, and it's that collaboration that he is so dedicated to. That's where his heart's at. That's what he's pursuing. It's where his talent is at. That's what he's pursuing. And he doesn't know how long he's going to live any more than you do or I do. He just knows that he's never been better. And so while he can, he's going to go as hard as he can. He is determined to lay down as many tracks as he can lay down because he believes in this immortality aspect of music, that the music will live on beyond him. He knows that. He knows these records that he's made. He knows that these things that he's picked and these songs that he has sung, he knows that they'll outlive him, likely. And so he's laying down all that he can. He's following his heart with even greater vigor to see where it might take him. Well, kids, I echo that feeling because it mirrors exactly how I feel. No, not musically. I haven't spent my life making music. Instead, I've spent my life communicating. I've spent my life connecting. I've spent my life reading people and doing that mostly in the context of business building, business operations. These days, I'm less concerned. I'm less concerned about building a business as I am helping other people build a business. I'm less concerned about helping myself as I am helping somebody else. Mostly, my heart has been telling me my entire life to pursue knowing and understanding people for the purpose of helping. I can't explain it. I wasn't smart enough to chase some advanced degree in psychology. The world, namely the business landscape, that was my laboratory. That's where I made my daily observations from customers and employees. The market was just this bigger field of learning. I've never been better. I know that. Deep, deep down, I really do know that. I have never been better. I've never had this much knowledge. I've never had this much confidence. I've never had this much wisdom. I've never had this much know-how. I've never been better. What is it that you know deep, deep down inside? What truth have you come to understand about yourself? What do you know about the passions of your heart? Second, the unknown frightens all of us. The first moral is it's you. It's in your head, and it's your belief in yourself. The second is this unknown, and it frightens all of us. It scares all of us. See where it might take you. Well, that's the scary part of this whole lyric. That's the scary part of the title of today's show, is because we all have these expectations. And whether those are concrete goals or not, well, that doesn't much matter. Vince Gill and many other highly accomplished musicians have admitted through the years that they never wrote down an objective. They never had a goal. They weren't nearly as strategic as we might think they were. They just approached the passions of their heart, but they did it at a much, well, you could argue they did it at a much lower level, or you could argue that they did it at a much higher level. And for Vince Gill, it was simply to play music. Well, it was to play music better. You'll hear people tell you all the time, well, if you don't have it written down, then it doesn't exist. It's not real. Well, listen, I'm a writer. I love to journal. I love to make notes, but I confess that I am not world class at establishing written down specific goals when it comes to my career, my life. I'm not a to-do list person. Are you? Nothing wrong with that. I'm not poo-pooing it. Now, I can get concrete goals in managing or leading a business, but in my professional or personal life, not so much. I more often than not take it as it comes and try to make a wise choice in real time. I don't always get it right any more than you do. I mean, like right now. Right now, I want to be operating a small business in the peer advisory space where I just assemble a handful of small business owners in virtual groups, business owners from all over America, and all of us are focused on helping each other grow our businesses. That's the current pursuit. You want to find out more? Go to growgreat.com, growgreat.com. Is it going to work? I think so. I believe in it. I believe in it like Toby Keith believed in, what do you think of me now? But there's an unknown, right? I don't. Fact is, I don't know because the story hadn't been written yet. Why consider the downside when you can consider the upside? Or why consider the downside without considering the upside? I've never really understood this. Yes, I know things can go south. But what if they don't? Toby Keith, Vince Gill, and every other successful musician, yes, they could have, absolutely, they could have failed. In fact, I'll argue that most of them did at one time, at many times, they failed. Toby Keith hasn't, everything he's done has not turned into gold. But to follow your heart anticipating failure, well, that's just a surefire way to make sure that your dream is crushed. I'm going to pursue this. I know it's not going to work, but I'm going to pursue it. Well, then you're just an idiot. You've got to believe in it. You've got to believe it's going to work out. Yes, you might fail. In fact, you probably are going to fail. Okay, what are you going to make out of that failure? Well, Toby Keith's story tells us that he took failure across the street and he leveraged it into one of his biggest success stories ever. Can you do that? Will you do that? I don't know if you will or not. If you don't have the determination, if you don't have the solid belief in yourself like he did, you won't. If you don't have the gumption, the gall, the tenacity, the determination, you won't. Why not anticipate success? Why not be open to the possibility that achievement and appreciation, they will eventually arrive? Track number 8, In My Own Eyes, Brandi Carlile. Well, it's important. How you see yourself in your own eyes is really important. You need to see yourself succeeding. You've got to see that before anybody else sees it. You've got to see it before the world sees it. If you don't, it just will not happen. The third moral to all of this is to listen to the right portion of the outside world. The market, or our potential audience, that's what makes winners and losers of us all. Somebody's got to recognize your greatness. Without it, you got nothing. Few people get the recognition right off the bat. It can happen, but it doesn't happen very often. People have to work and work and work and work and work and work just simply to break through and get the attention. And they got to work and they work and work and work and work to get the recognition. It can take years to earn it. It can take years to find it. And there are people who don't. Some never do. And there are valid reasons for that. And it's not just all luck. Some people don't have enough talent to do what their heart most wants. Some people don't have the work ethic. Some people don't have the determination to pay the price. They want it to be easy. And it's not. It just isn't. And still other people are too scared to say yes. They halt. They hesitate. And so it costs them opportunities. Millions and millions of reasons why we don't live up to our potential, why we don't achieve all that we could achieve. And mostly it's us. Mostly we are the impediment, but you know that already. I mean, just remember, the victor isn't always the best. There's plenty of room for you in whatever space your heart is aiming for. Plenty of room for you to make your mark. There is no space that is oversaturated. The fact that Toby Keith is making the kind of money he's making, and the fact that in a single year he will earn more than Vince Gill has already accumulated over the course of many decades, you can say, well, that ain't fair. Doesn't matter. It is what it is. But it proves one thing. Vince is pursuing his heart. He's achieving what he wants to achieve. The world is acknowledging it. Toby Keith is pursuing his heart. He's chasing what he wants to chase. He's seeing where that takes him. And he's having a grand old time. And the world is saying, we're in. We support you. We're all in. The haters are going to hate. The haters are going to do everything possible to break you. Some are going to be vested in competing with you. Others, well, they just don't want to see you or anybody else do very well. There are people like that. And so haters are going to keep on hating. In fact, they're going to hate harder and harder. And maybe it's the teacher who urges you to give up that dream of being a writer, or who did. Maybe it's the coach who tells you that you'll never play at the next level. Case Keenum is the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. This coming weekend, Case Keenum is going to play in the NFC Championship game. If Case Keenum wins that game, he's going to the Super Bowl. This kid coming out of Texas, one college offered him a scholarship. Coaches told him, you're not good enough to play at the next level. He did not let the outside world break him. You shouldn't either.
Life is too short. Waste all your time running too quickly to the finish line. Time is a trap, it's ready and set. And the longer you live, the closer you get to being gone, gone like the evening sun.
Track number 9, Gone, Brandi Carlile. You don't need to let the outside world break you. Now, it doesn't mean that we refuse to listen to the outside world, though. We just don't let the outside world break us. We do pay attention to the feedback from the outside world to help us achieve our heart's passion. Like Toby Keith in that story about the single, when he saw that, well, it ain't working. He offered a solution, and his solution changed everything. He followed his heart by listening to what the audience was saying, all the while refusing to let anybody, including the audience, break him. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is Leaning Toward Wisdom. And that wraps up episode 4130. Greetings and welcome. Inside the Yellow Studio. There is one more track on this record. You've been listening to the tracks of Brandi Carlile's 2005 debut record. But track number 10, we'll use this as the epilogue song. The name of the track is Tragedy. Enjoy. Enjoy.